Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. We're studying a Sunday school lesson about the story of Joseph, and particularly about Judah's plea for his brother Benjamin. Now, there's a lot to this story, but you probably know it very well. We're looking at this story by way of a Sunday school lesson that was written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of June the 20th, 1926. And we've come to that point in the story in which the brothers of Joseph are going to return to the land of Egypt, for they have run out of food. And at Joseph's directions, they're going to return and bring Benjamin with them. Now, Jacob had protested this, but the hunger overcame him, and he agreed to let Benjamin go. Judah had said, "If I don't bring Benjamin back, then you can have my sons and put them to death." Well, I doubt Jacob would have done that, but he did allow Benjamin to go in the care of Judah and the other brothers and return to Joseph. And we're going to pick that story up where we left off at that point in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And with that, let's return to our Sunday school lesson. Jacob, urged by hunger and persuaded by his sons, consented to Benjamin's going. Judah became surety for Benjamin's return and promised, as Reuben had done, that if he returned not with Benjamin, he should bear the blame. Jacob exhorted his sons to take a present of choice fruits to the man, also to return the money, and prayed God to have mercy on them, saying, "If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved." When they arrived, Joseph had dinner and lodging prepared for them, had Simeon released from prison, treated them hospitably, and inquired particularly concerning their father. Upon seeing and meeting Benjamin, his mother's son, his heart yearned over his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there. Note throughout this entire story the different times Joseph wept. Having gained control of his emotions, Joseph ordered dinner served. Joseph's brethren were surprised that he observed the Jewish custom in arranging and serving them at the table. And then Benjamin is going to be arrested, according to the command of Joseph. His steward had filled his brother's sacks to the full with grain, putting again each man's money in the mouth of his sack. And in Benjamin's sack, Joseph's silver drinking cup with his money. Early on the next morning, they were started on their return home. When they had not gone very far, Joseph commanded his servants to follow them and ask why they were rewarded evil for good, and accused them of stealing his cup in which he drank, and whereby he indeed divineth. Joseph was inspired of God to interpret dreams and foretell events, and resorted not to the superstition of using the cup for that purpose, but doubtless accommodated his language to the custom of the country. His brethren were very much disturbed over this serious charge, and said they had not only returned the money which they had found in their sacks, but that it was far from them to steal, and in whose possession the cup might be found should die, and the rest should become Joseph's bondsmen. The steward replied that he would make a bondman of the one only who might have the cup, and the rest should be blameless. When the search was made for the cup, To their profound astonishment and great distress, it was found in Benjamin's sack. They then, in grief, rent their clothes, returned to Joseph, and pled for Benjamin, that in earnest and unselfish manner, which convinced them that they did not hate Benjamin as they had hated him. And then follows Judah's speech. Now we're going to read this verse by verse, or just a few verses at a time, and then return to Elam's notes. First, Genesis 44:18. Then Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. In the notes, in his deep earnestness, Judah drew near to this ruler. He acknowledged himself a servant. He begged that his Lord would not become angry with him because of his fervor, stating that his Lord had the authority and power of Pharaoh. Now, verses 19 through 23 of Genesis 44. Judah says, My Lord asked his servant, saying, Have you a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead. But he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou sayest unto thy servants, Bring him down unto me, that I may set my eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, The lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And thou saidest unto thy servants, Except your youngest brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. Let's look at Elam's notes. We read he stated that in response to his Lord's earnest inquiry concerning his father and youngest brother, he had frankly stated the facts concerning them. He spoke of his father as an old man of Benjamin, and Benjamin as a child of his old age, a little one, of Joseph as a brother who is dead, and of Benjamin as the only one left of his mother. We know that Rachel was the mother of only two sons, Joseph and Benjamin. And since Joseph was considered dead, Jacob had loved Benjamin the more. He reminded his Lord that he had demanded that Benjamin be brought to Egypt. If not, he could see his face no more. Now let's read down verses 24 through 34 of Genesis 44. And it came to pass when we came upon thy servant, my father. We told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, Go again, buy us a little food. And we said, We cannot go down. If our youngest brother be with us, then will we go down, for we may not see the man's face, except our youngest brother be with us. And the servant of my father said unto him, You know that my wife bare me two sons. And the one went out from me, and I said, Surely he's torn in pieces, and I have not seen him since. And if ye take this one also from me, and harm befall him, ye will bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to Sheol. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant, my father, and the lad is not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it will come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die, and the servants will bring down the gray hairs of thy servant our father with sorrow to Sheol. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, If I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore, let thy servant, I pray thee, abide instead of the lad, a bondman unto my lord. And let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father if the lad be not with me, lest I see the evil that shall come upon my father? Let's go to Elam's notes. Judah rehearsed the conversation which had taken place between his sons and Jacob in regard to taking Benjamin to Egypt. stating that Jacob had referred to Joseph as having been torn in pieces by wild beasts, and that if Benjamin should be taken from him and harm should befall him, they would bring down his gray hairs in sorrow to Sheol. If Judah should return to Jacob without the lad, it would surely kill him. He had become surety to his father for the safe return of the lad, and therefore could not return without him, and become the occasion of his father's deeper sorrow and death. In this plea for his brother and for the safety of his father's life, Judah reached the climax when he earnestly requested to be held as a bondsman instead of Benjamin. The speech was recorded by inspiration long after it was delivered, with other eloquent comments on this tender, most touching, most unselfish, and most noble plea of Judah for his brother Benjamin. Before me, I shall quote that of Adam Clark. No paraphrase can heighten the effect of Judah's address to Joseph. To add would be to diminish its excellence. To explain would be to obscure its beauties. To clothe the ideas in other language than that of Judah and his translators in our Bible would ruin its energy and destroy its influence. It is perhaps one of the most tender, affecting pieces of natural oratory ever spoken or penned, and we need not wonder to find that when Joseph heard it, he could not refrain himself, but wept aloud. His soul must have been insensible beyond what is common to human nature had he not immediately yielded to a speech so delicately tender and so powerfully impressive. So touched was Joseph that this tender reference to his aged father and departed mother, this noble plea for Benjamin, and Judah's unselfish proposition to be bound in Benjamin's stead, that he could not refrain himself before all them that stood by. In his deep emotion, he had all the Egyptians leave the room and wept aloud and made himself known to his brethren. The rest of the story, one of the most instructive and impressive things in Joseph's love for his brethren and forgiveness of their sin against him, and this entire story is his trust in God and his declaration to his brethren, "Ye meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." The whole story has been stated, shows how God overruled envy, hatred, lies, fleshly lust, intended evil, imprisonment, cruel treatment, plenty, and famine, to the good of those who serve him, to the punishment of evildoers, and his own glory. Now, that brings that Sunday school lesson to a close. And on the opening page of my little Sunday school book, we see that we have come to the end of the quarter for the year of 1926 on June the 27th. And this is a review lesson about what we have learned from the book of Genesis. The golden text for this review lesson is Romans 8 and verse 28. We know that to them that love God, all things work together for good, even to them that are called according to his purpose. You put that Romans 8, 28, in context, and we see it's talking about working about all things for God's plan of salvation to man. And just as that story of Joseph shows the providence of God working in this story and bringing all these things to pass in spite of all of the evil and wickedness among different individuals in that story, so also God worked all the way through that Old Testament. All the events with Moses and with Joshua and the judges and the prophets and the kings. And he brought it all to pass just as he said, so that through Abraham all the nations of the earth would be blessed and thus will be blessed. And though we do not always understand how, God continues to work in this world in providence our own salvation.